Welcome back to the Amazing Career Project. We are on video number 9 about strengthening your power, 5 keys to powering up. And this video is in the let go phase of bringing your career from where you are to amazing career success. So I want to recap the 5 core steps that are going to take you where you want to go. They are step back for an empowered perspective, let go of the thinking patterns and behaviors that are keeping you stuck and feeling small. The third step is say yes to your compelling visions. The fourth step is explore it and try it on. And the fifth is create it. So here we are, strengthening your power. The takeaway for today is this: you are inherently capable of acting as the author of your own life. But are you embracing that power? So let's talk about what that means. What is power, and why do we need it in an amazing career? Well, there are many definitions of power, but the one I resonate with is this. Power is the ability to accomplish something, create something, or manifest something. Or another way to look at it is it's the strength to exert force to bring about something you care about. So, of course, we need power. We need access to our internal power and external power to get done what we really want to in our careers. So, I want us to remember this. Power does not have to be aggressive, doesn't have to be controlling, doesn't have to be mean, doesn't have to be kind of like that used car salesman-ish all in your face. Not at all. It can be quiet. It can be calm. It can be inspirational, but you still have to have power. And what's interesting in working with so many women over these years, I've found that women truly struggle with the concept of power and articulating it and demonstrating it a little bit more than men do. And there are reasons for that. There are many reasons. One is our cultural training. We are taught, ooh, you're shining too bright. You're too aggressive. People won't like you, right? We're taught that. Also, as I'm reading The Female Brain about neurobiology, women are wired for connection, wired for community, wired for empathy, and those qualities sometimes in our mind clash with being incredibly powerful. But I'm asking you here to think about your relationship with power and rewire yourself so that you can become as powerful as you need to be in the way you need to be. So here we go. There are 6 key areas of power that are essential for having the career you want. Here they are. The first is gaining self-mastery and control. What that means is that you're not flooded by your emotions, right? You have reason and you have emotion, you have heart, but it's all balanced together so that you feel that you are the master of who you are. The second piece is that you're communicating with power and confidence. The third is that you're building powerful relationships, relationships that nurture you, that support you, that also are mutually beneficial. You're of service, they're of service. The fourth is power through your ideas, through your contribution, through your expertise, right? Power because you are bringing to your field high levels of contribution. The fifth is using your natural talents and gifts. When we are using what we're naturally gifted at, we have power, right? And the sixth is aligning your personal mission with your professional goals. So those are 6 key areas of power that I'd like to explore a little more deeply. I'd love to give in this video some key tips for assessing your power and making a shift so that you come to the next level in these areas. Here they are. Gaining self-mastery. So what does it really mean? How do we do it? If you find that you're very emotional in your work, and again, this is for in your job, in your business, with your colleagues, with your peers, with your staff, whatever level, whatever function we're talking about as you do your work in your professional life, do you feel that your emotions flood you, flood your reasoning, right? Make it hard for you to act with equanimity and calm? If that's the case, it's time to do a little work on how do I center myself when things happen that come at me that make me angry, resentful, flustered, right? How do we do it? We center ourselves, and there are many ways to do this. And please do check out the homework assignment and the resources in the link below this video, and you'll be sent to resources that are going to help you do this. But the key thing is to disengage from your emotions, to look at those negative emotions objectively, to understand that you are not your emotions, you are not your beliefs, you are not your thoughts, you are something separate, something bigger. But in order to do that, you have to disengage, right, in the moment. And you have to think, wow, I'm feeling very angry here. Wow, I'm feeling very threatened. I'm feeling so not confident. And then in the moment, try to center yourself back to realizing you have what it takes. Usually it's around fear that you don't have what it takes, fear that you can't handle it. Okay, number two, communicating with power and confidence. All right, what's really important here is that you understand that everything is communication. You can't not communicate, right? The way you stand, the way your face looks, your smile, your eye contact, the tone of your voice, the energy you have, it's all communicating. So how do we communicate a little more with power? There's a wonderful book I want to point you to. It's called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. This little book doesn't take long to read, certainly within a day, and to me it was life-changing. And I think it might be for you as well. And the four agreements are agreements we make to ourselves that we will follow, that we will adhere and live by so that we can have the highest level of experience in both our work and our life. So let me go through the four quickly. The first is be impeccable with your word. And all of this pertains to communication. What does it mean? Being impeccable with your word means understanding, first of all, that your words and language can be used as a weapon if you are not careful, or it can be used as a vehicle of good, of support, of nurturing, right? But you have to be impeccable. What that means is, when you look at the root, it means do not sin against. In your words, do not sin against yourself or others. Never backstab. Never be cruel. Never use your words as a harpoon, right? Or a serpent tongue, right? Be impeccable. Be careful. From this moment on, look at your language. Where are you putting yourself down? Where are you putting others down? Where are you speaking of yourself in a way that's belittling and demeaning? And usually, when we do that to others, we're actually doing it to ourselves as well. So watch your language. The second is don't take anything personally. And a lot of people say, really, Kathy, don't take anything personally? But I live by this rule as much as possible. What does it mean? It means whatever comes at you, when someone attacks you or criticizes you or puts you down, what they're saying is much more about them than about you. Much more. So don't take it personally. If someone critiques your work or your presentation, right, or your project or how you managed or how you led, don't take it personally. Let it in, and again, I've mentioned this, you don't have to take every ball that's thrown at you, but let it in and filter it and understand what you need to take in for your growth and what you need to let go of. The third agreement is don't make any assumptions. This is such a deep concept, but such a simple concept. What it's referring to is throughout our life, throughout our day, we make assumptions about why someone's doing this to us or where they're coming from, right? We're making assumptions constantly. Oh, she doesn't like me. She's doing that because of this. I didn't get that job or that interview because of this. We assume, we assume, we assume. And then we go down the emotional path of believing that's reality, but it's just an assumption. It's just a projection. Don't assume anything. Always seek to understand. Always seek to find out. And the fourth agreement is always do your best. I love this one. It's so freeing. What it really means is every day, wake up and say, today I'm doing my best. I mean, we always do our best. We're doing our best. We're using every piece of information that we have to do the best we can. We don't know everything, right? And we learn and we make mistakes and we falter and we fall down. But every day, you're doing your best. When you know that, when you honor that you are doing your best, What that means is you're going to have no regrets. No regrets. Because you couldn't do it any differently than the way you did it. And regret is one of the most draining and demoralizing emotions and actions we can have. So always do your best. Those are the four agreements. I hope you enjoy that book. The third is building powerful relationships. We've touched on that in various videos. I want to reiterate it and talk about it again. What is a powerful relationship? First of all, what you want to do is align with people you respect. Align and engage with people that enliven you, that inspire you, that are already at a level that you wish to be, right? Or through your engagement, help you be more of what you came here to be. It's interesting to me, so many people, when they tell me what their relationships are like, many of them are demeaning or conflict-ridden or painful, right? So I would like you to look at your relationships, all of them, your business relationships, your professional relationships, your personal relationships, your relationships with your family. Where are they putting you down, keeping you in a box, not wanting you to be what you want to be? And where are they uplifting? And what I'd ask you to do is wherever you can, disengage or create a very strong boundary between those people that are not wanting you to be all you can be and not supporting you to be all you can be. The fourth area of power that is essential for you to bolster as much as you can is power through your ideas, through your contribution, through your expertise. You know, I have a personal story to tell about that. I spent 18 years in the corporate world, first in publishing, in science marketing, which I was good at, and we talked about this. You can be good at something and not like doing it. I was in science marketing, then I was in the book club world in market research, and then in marketing and product management. And I want to tell you that very infrequently did I feel powerful in that. I was good at scientific marketing. I could write great copy, but I really didn't know what the copy meant. You know, I wasn't connected to the scientific content, so I didn't feel powerful. Then in market research, I loved it. I loved doing quantitative studies and qualitative studies about customers and new products, but I hadn't studied market research. I hadn't studied statistics. I didn't really feel powerful. I didn't feel ever that I had 100% of the expertise I wanted. And the same goes throughout my 18-year corporate career. It's only until this career. And it's interesting, even when I became a therapist, expertise is important to me, and I felt like it would take me 50 years to have the expertise that I really wanted and to create new models of change. And then I found coaching, and I felt, number one, that I was good at it, that I loved it, but that I could also make a difference, that I could create new models for change that were different or, from my perspective, special. And this is where I feel most powerful. So think about the areas you're in, the role you play, the functional areas, the industries. Do you feel powerful? Do you feel like you can make a difference? And there's a wonderful concept I want to share with you about a teachable point of view. As I was teaching this summer a course at NYU on managing inclusion and cultural diversity, we looked at leadership. And Noel Tishy is a wonderful leadership expert. And he's talked all about and taught what is a teachable point of view. All of us have one, right? All leaders, all managers, all people who are doing things and making things happen and leading change have a teachable point of view. The point is, have we stopped and stepped back and looked at it and created it and articulated it? So a teachable point of view talks about what are your values. Let's say you're running a business and you want to teach all the people in your business how you think the business is going to move forward. You break it down. What are the values for the business? What are the ideas that make that business what it is, right? What's the energy that motivates people? And the fourth aspect is edge. What is the competitive edge of this organization? How do you make the tough decisions? How do you know the directions you want to move in and the directions you don't, and how to handle the tough challenges? So think about that. What's your teachable point of view? What do you bring to this role, this function, this business, this area, right? And if you don't feel you have the expertise, you don't feel powerful there, I'd say get on the path to developing it or think about perhaps this isn't the area for you. Perhaps you're not passionate about getting the expertise you need. I'd like you to think about that. Number five, in terms of power areas, using your natural gifts and talents. So again, we're differentiating. You've got natural talents that came with you pretty much from when you were born, or they certainly emerged in early childhood and teen years and young adult, right? Things you're just so naturally good at that people say, wow, you're so wonderful in that. And you might even be surprised, like, wow, I really am? Oh, you're so natural. You're such a natural connector. I have a number of friends. Oh my gosh, are they brilliant at, Kathy, you've got to meet Emily. You're going to love each other. And we do, great connectors. Or you're a great communicator, or you're beautifully creative, or you have a design eye. You can walk into someone's house and say, woo, I would move that there and do that here, and in a second, it's magnificent. You have these talents. What are the natural talents? And then look at those skills, those things that you've developed, the chops that you've worked. And sometimes we like the skills we use, sometimes we don't. You get power and juice and energy from doing the things that are just natural. So I want you to look at, where can you bring your natural talents forward? Are you funny? Are you analytical? Are you organized, right? What can you use in your work that's gonna make you feel like, this is easy, this is just me? And the sixth power area that we wanna focus on is aligning your personal mission with your professional goals. So many people, so many women come to me and say, what the company wants from me and what I want for myself, big gap. Well, as long as it's going to be a huge gap like that, and it's you can't bridge it, you're not going to feel powerful. You're not going to feel fulfilled. You're not going to say, this is an amazing career. You've got to align the two, what your mission is and what the company wants from you. So how do we do that? We've got to think about, what is our mission? And a lot of people say, I don't even know. I don't know what my purpose is. I think I have one, but I'm not sure what it is. And I certainly don't know what my mission is. So I want you to think about this as a way to get to your mission. I want you to think about, what is the role that you play in the world that only you can play? And there is one. Now, I don't want you to immediately go to, I'm not Mother Teresa, I'm not Bill Gates, I'm not Steve Jobs. No, we don't have to be what other people are. But there is a role that you play that no one else can play. Let me give you a little example for me. And, you know, you might think this sounds, wow, she's bragging. Good. I just gave an assignment to my client last night. She's articulating her brand for LinkedIn. And she said to me, I'm just having a hard time. It all sounds like bragging. So the assignment was, you're only going to get an A+ if you brag like you wouldn't believe. I want bragging. And then we'll take it down. We'll tone it down. But you've got to be able to brag. You've got to find someone to brag, someone in your family to brag to. But back to the role that only you can play. When I look at who I am now, it is truly a culmination of every little thing that I've ever been and done and learned, right? From, and I've mentioned this before, I'm a singer, I love to be on stage, I love to connect, right? I love it when people come and they have a challenge and I can help them work through it. I love to bring change about. I love to write. I love psychology. It's just a culmination. And I spent years in marketing. So I write my own copy for my website. It's not perfect. I get a lot of help, but All of it is being used today. And what is the special role for me? To me, it's turning my mess into a message, helping women overcome the 12 hidden crises working women face today and have amazing career success, go from broken down and confused and stuck and miserable to, oh, wow, I'm rocking it out of the park. That's my special role. Do other people do it? Yeah, but not the way I do it. And what is your role? What do you do that's so unique to you? What are the dots that have been connected that are now going to culminate in your special role? That is your mission. All right, five quick steps to powering up. And of course, it isn't quick. It's a journey. and I don't want to mislead you, but if you can start on the path to taking these steps, you're going to find change will be quick. The first is evaluate where you are not powerful. Look at these six areas. Where do you feel I've got it, and where do you feel like, wow, I don't. I don't feel strong. I don't feel confident. I don't feel worthy. Look at that. And then what I want you to try to do is get to the root of it. Because I believe this, we can take all the tactics in the world, right? When people are going on interviews, they have a beautiful resume, they've had a little interview coaching, but if internally they don't feel strong, they don't come across strong. They don't make it happen, right? So I want you to look at the root of what's at the heart of why you don't feel powerful. Maybe you don't have the mastery. You don't have the control, maybe. Your emotions are all over the place, right? You don't feel you have a special contribution. You feel the people in your life aren't supporting you and they're bringing you down. What is the root? Did it come from childhood? Did it come from a trauma that you had? For instance, a lot of people today in these recessionary times have lost their jobs. And I know what that feels like. I was laid off, even from a job I didn't like. I worked on that for years, feeling so demoralized, so ashamed, so humiliated, right? Even if you didn't like the job, being laid off is hard. So I want you to look at the root, and I want you to try to release it and shift it. I want you to also look at your boundaries. Where do they need to be enforced? The quickest way to understanding that is look at who is putting you down, who is asking too much, who is demanding too much, why are you letting that happen, and where do you feel exhausted, resentful, drained, angry? Look there and you'll find a boundary that you need to construct. You need to say, I can't do that. And there are ways to say no. It doesn't have to be crushing and cruel. But you need to start saying no so that you can say yes to yourself. So I'd like you to commit to having one conversation or taking one action this week that is going to allow you to reclaim your power, allow you to say no to that crushing demand. Maybe you have to say no to that volunteer task so that you can invest in your business. Or maybe you need to say no to something about the structure of your day. Like I said in a previous video, I would come in one of my corporate jobs and I'd look at my Outlook calendar. From 9 to 7, I was booked. How's that possible if I had no say in it? Maybe you've got to say no. I'm not going to these 7 meetings. My assistant will and represent me. Finally, when you step up and make these changes, there are going to be consequences. It's not just going to magically, you know, the waters part, there are going to be consequences. When you start saying no, when you start erecting stronger boundaries, people don't like it, right? Let's say your family's used to doing everything, right? And you say, you know what? It's time that I not do everything. Maybe you ask your daughter to do her laundry. Maybe you ask your partner at home to be more of a partner, right? So that you're not doing 100% at home and 100% at work. If you do that, it's an adjustment. There's a transition period. People are like, whoop, what do you mean? What do you mean you're not doing that for me? Yep, I'm not. And let me explain why. But you don't have to defend. You can just say, here's what's happening, right? And what I want you to do is start addressing the consequences. Don't cave. Don't say, oh, that was too hard. I'm going back to the way I was. Address those consequences up front, straight out. And when you do these and take these steps, I know that you will start to reclaim all the power that you have inside of you. Thanks so much. Don't forget, click on the link below this video to do your homework and check out the resources there. And I will see you next time. Thank you.